Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we just come before you, Lord. We just want to lift up those who are sick and ailing, Lord. And Lord, you know exactly what they're going through, exactly what they need, Father. And Lord, you are in absolute control, Lord. And I pray that you'll give them that peace, Lord. That, Lord, nothing is happening without surprise to you, because you know exactly what's going on. You know what tomorrow is going to be like. And you just have us to focus on you today, Lord, and depend on you tomorrow, Father. And I pray that each family that is facing sickness or facing difficulties or dilemmas or whatever they may be facing in their lives, Father, that, Lord, that their focus would be on you, Lord Jesus. And that they will realize that, Lord, you are faithful, and there is nothing impossible for you to do for us, Lord. And you just know exactly what we face in our lives through your experience when you suffered and as a man, when you walked on this earth, Father. We want to thank you so much for being our Lord, our God, our friend, and our Savior. Help us tonight, Lord, to worship you, and Lord, just to honor your name tonight, Lord. I pray you just use your words to just proclaim it through me, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I just want to be an instrument. I want to be out of the situation, Lord, and have you have full control, Lord, and that you just speak what you had to be spoken, Father, and that hearts will be touched and lives will be changed, Father, and that, Lord, if anything else, Lord, that we will be drawn closer to you through your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 11. Have you ever, when you read the Bible and you study, especially if you're studying it, and you look at all these men and women of God in the Bible and how they say, wow, look at the testimony they have. Tonight I want to talk about Enoch and what God has done and comparing to the life that we have. Now, Enoch was a man that loved God, that walked with God, and was no more. What kind of fellowship with God does that take? Can we have something like that? Do you know that the answer to that is yes. But your willingness and your faith has to depend on Christ for that. Because if you try to do anything on your own, it's going to fail. It may be good for a season, but without Christ being your strength, and in John 15, we cannot do anything without Christ. But I got two questions tonight I want to answer. How can we please God? Then once we learn how to please God, how are we really to walk with God? What does it really mean to walk with Almighty God? Now, you got to realize, and as I studied this, Adam kept popping up in my mind. Adam, did you know he had full, total oneness with Christ? He walked in the still of the night. He was able to see God in his true presence. In his true presence. Until sin entered into their lives. Then everything changed. Everything changed from then and even to now. It affects us now. It affects the earth because of sin. And it's sin. And if you really look at it, sometimes, majority of time, it's our own doing. Because we're sinful creatures. That is our nature. That's how we were born. We weren't taught to say no to our parents. That came naturally. But when Adam was created, he had perfect oneness. And that just amazes me, because when I was studying Enoch here, and the Lord began to speak to me, he says, Enoch walked with God. He pleased God, and he was no more. What kind, he can't have the perfect oneness that Adam had. Because Adam was sinless at the time. Enoch was a sinner. You ever thought about that? Enoch was no different than you or I. He was a man born of sin, of flesh.
Man, that's a great point.
Now, what I'm going to share with you, I feel the Lord showed me this, but I have no proof that this is true. I looked all through the Bible when I was studying this. I was going through everything I could think of about Enoch to see if this is true. So, if I come up here and I say something and it's wrong and you show me in the Bible, I want to know, because I don't want to stand here before you and tell you something that's not true. My desire is to share the truth of God's word, not my perspective of it. If I put my perspective of it, then we're all going to go to hell. But in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, it says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now, my focus, I want to go back to verse 22 and focus on what 22 says. Allow me to read it again. After Enoch begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Let's start right there. He walked with God 300 years. So what did he do his first 65 years? Now, this is my understanding and what God has revealed to me, that Enoch was a sinner, just like you or I. And when Methuselah was born, he had a life-changing experience with God. I believe he was taught the way that the Jews were taught and the way that he's supposed to live his life. But I don't think he fully committed until he's seen his child, his first child born. I believe it had such a reckoning in his mind, in his heart, saying there's something that needs to change about me. He was a sinner at 65. But I believe when Methuselah was born at 65, when he was 65, he had a life-changing experience with Christ. At the time, Christ was being prophesied. At the time, they were doing sacrifices in the remnant of what Jesus has already done for us. Now I want to go to Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6. Chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Now listen to this. Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I was reading, can't remember if it was Green or Vermin, in one of the books I have at the house. And it talked about how when a man sees a child born, that a true father of that child, it causes a change in the way he thinks about life. In the way he wants to raise his child. Does he want to raise his child the way he was? Or the way he should be doing? I believe in this instance, when Enoch seen his son, it's like God spoke to him and talked to him. It says, this is my gift I give to you for a season to watch over. And then he walks with God for 300 years. He walks in complete, total faith in God. Complete sacrifice, complete surrender. Now that's the first aspect of Enoch. The second aspect of Enoch I want to talk about is Enoch symbolizes, or I should say represents, the church. Okay, just bear with me. Enoch represents the church. Enoch was taken from the earth before the flood. He was taken from the earth before God closed the ark. Now, this is a symbol, like I said, of Enoch being representing the church and being taken before God's judgment on sin that man was doing, because it was beyond what God wanted. And he judged man and destroyed him. And he saved Noah and his family. Enoch represents the church because he pleased God. He was a child of God. He didn't face the flood. He wasn't locked. I don't want to say locked in the ark, but he wasn't sealed in the ark. But Noah and his family was. And Luke, in Luke 3:37, that's just where it gets to Enoch, but it was going through the genealogy of Christ, and Enoch is in that line. Then if you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 1, it says this is the line of Adam to Abraham, and Enoch was in that line. So Enoch was part of Jesus, in that lineage of Jesus Christ. And God used Enoch to show man for 300 years. 300 years he walked with God. My math is off, but I can't remember the exact amount of time, but it was a few. It took Noah quite a few years to build the ark. I was thinking it was 120, but I wasn't sure. I didn't want to say it because that's not 100. I'm not 100% sure, but that's what it was. But Enoch represents us, and he represents what judgment is going to be like at the end times. And a lot of us feel that it's close. It's here. It could come at any time. We don't know the time or the date, but the Lord did tell us there would be signs of his coming. And he's shown a lot of signs. And Enoch represents the time for the tribulation. Consider at that time the flood, the great judgment of mankind. Destroyed all man, except for those left in the ark, Noah's family. And Noah was spared. He was taken. He didn't die. He didn't suffer death like you or I. Well, we may or may not. We don't know when the Lord's going to take us. I can't sit here and say we might face death. We may not. But whatever happens, my focus and my prayer is that I'm where Jesus wants me to be. And knowing this, in the 300 years that Noah walked, I'm sorry, that Enoch walked with God, that just blows my mind. It really just blows my mind. When I was studying this, I'm going, I have no idea what to say. There's not much information about Enoch. But do you know that Enoch prophesied? Go to Jude, verse 14 and 15. Jude. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, against God. Now, when I read that verse, I didn't quite know those two verses. I didn't quite get what God was trying to tell me. But as I kept reading them and praying, that describes our world today. That describes our world today and our need as children of God to go out and share the gospel and to be witnesses. Some people say, I just witness with my actions. That's good. Some people see that, but the word spoken is what God wants. In Mark 16:15, God says, go out and proclaim the gospel to all living creatures. That's our command. Whether you're a preacher, an evangelist, a teacher, it doesn't matter. If you're a child of God, no matter what you do, you are commanded to spread the gospel. And I think for 300 years as he was walking, Enoch had more children, more sons and daughters. But I also think that closeness became more and more and more between him and the Father. I think he was telling. I mean, look at the evil he was speaking of in Jude. The sin that was rampant. And not too long after, God judges the earth with a flood. How are we to imitate Enoch? You know how? It's simple. You study that Bible, learn about Jesus, and everything you can learn about Jesus, and seek him. and you will be like Enoch. I'm not guaranteeing you that he's going to call you and take you or take you up in a chariot of fire or anything. But I promise you, the way to please God is through a walk of faith. That's the only way we can please God. That's what it says in Hebrews 11:6. The only way to please God is to walk by faith. Enoch walked by faith. And he walked by faith that he was blessed to be taken to heaven without facing death. Now, Enoch was a man, was human, was flesh and blood. He wasn't part God or anything. He was just like you and I. He's no different. Look, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it talks about all the faithful. It talks about Abraham. It talks about Jacob and Isaac. And these men and some more men. And it talks about how their faith, how they were strong in their faith. David was a murderer. Abraham was a liar. God can still use us. He doesn't expect us to be perfect because he knows we cannot be perfect. There is no perfection in this room or on this earth. Perfection comes from Christ. And the only way that we can even have a minute taste of that is you walk daily with Christ. You walk and look what Enoch did. Look what the men of God in this Bible did. What Peter did. What Paul did. What John did. I mean, what Philip did. They were faithful. What Stephen did when he was stoned for his faith. That's one thing people are afraid of. They're afraid to be judged by man in this world because we're not acting like them. We want to be different, set apart. And when you do that, you will be attacked. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. From the little bit that I've walked with Christ, I've realized that I can't stop sinning. But God expects us to sin less. As we learn from our mistakes, as he teaches us, we must learn and remember his teachings in our lives. If we don't, we cannot have a close relationship with Christ because we're allowing sin to run our life. And the Bible says there's a constant battle within us. You do realize the spirit is stronger than the sin. When the sin wins, that means we're allowing sin to win. We're choosing sin over God. And that's how we're supposed to walk. That's what God expects. I've shared this with you before that in Psalm 139, it's one of my favorite psalms because it helped me through my cancer. And it talks about how God first sought us, how God knew us in the womb, how God formed us in the womb, how God knew us before the foundation of the earth. And his desire is for us to know him the same way. And the only way we can do that is a relationship with Jesus. It can't be, okay, today I think I'll study my Bible. Tomorrow, I don't really feel like it. I'm gonna do something else. We got to put Christ first, no matter if, ands, or buts. You have to. This is the only way to walk a life pleasing to God. There's no other way. And I think this message was more for me than it was for anybody else. Because I'll tell you, sometimes I feel miserably. I'm going, God, why are you even put up with me? Why? Because he loves me. And that's what he tells me. I love you, son. I love you how you are, and I just want you to hold to me and allow me to work in you, through you, and about you. If we can do that, we can do anything for Christ. We can cause a great revival to come. I think that's why there's nothing happening right now. Because we are standing in God's way of moving. I think certain areas of the planet that there's revival going. But I'm talking about a worldwide revival. The only true way for that to happen is for us to get on our knees to Christ and say, Christ, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. And I'll be honest with you, that's what I've told Christ. I'll do whatever he wants. Before my cancer, you would have never seen me stand up here in front of people. I was comfortable with teaching little kids. But God took me away from that. He had to take me and put me in a situation with cancer to take me away from working with kids. Because I have worked with kids since I was 24 years old when I got saved. Now he has me going to homelessness and women and children in need, and sharing the love of Christ with them and feeding them, and it's not about me. As Pastor says, it's not about us. We have to realize that when we do something in service or in Christ's name, we got to make sure that our heart. Is it on Christ or is it on me? Enoch's heart was on Christ. Enoch, I think Enoch seen Christ. For those 300 years, he seen that Christ, what Christ was going to do. Because he loved the Father. He had such a relationship. And I can just see, I can't. Prove this because the Bible doesn't say it, but I can just see God just filling his heart with that. With, I have a Redeemer. And through the whole Bible, it talks about the Redeemer. And in the New Testament, it reveals the Redeemer. And our Redeemer lives. We have a God that we can trust because he's not dead. We have a God that we can depend on and know what life is like in our lives because he faced it when he was here. Like when I shared a couple weeks ago about the first 29 years of Jesus. Do you realize Jesus was obedient to Joseph? He submitted himself to Joseph and Mary. If Jesus can do that to a man and a woman who are sinners. And this is, you got to look at, and their son is the sinless perfection. If he can subject himself to the authority of his parents, why is it so hard for us to subject ourselves to the authority of Christ? The only way that is if we determine and purposely say, I got to do it. I can't say no. Even if you don't feel like it, open that Bible up and read. And you'll begin. If you don't have a daily reading or daily devotion now, I promise you, if you just spend 1 or 2 minutes, it'll end up being longer. I'm not going to say it's 2 hours. It's whatever God will lay on your heart. Because everybody's different. And you got to realize, God does not live in time as we do. Time is different. One day could be 1,000 years, 1,000 years one day. We need to start surrendering ourselves to the will of God. And the will of God is to do what His Son tells us to do. To be imitators of Jesus. To put ourselves on the line. Because it's not us that people are attacking. It's Christ who is in us is people who are attacking. We can't take it personal. If you really want to look at it as a blessing. Because God, you have Almighty God living within us. We are God's temple. How do we respond to Christ as God's temple? How do you respond to Christ as God's temple? Where are you with God? Are you where Christ is? As Pastor says, I love when he says this. You want to be in the will of God, you need to be where Jesus is at. That doesn't mean just because Frank is here and John is there, that's where you need to be. You have to be your individual self with Jesus Christ. And a spouse. If you have a spouse, y'all have to equally come. And Christ, he'll show you that. If you truly open your heart, he will absolutely reveal what he wants you to do. And I promise you this, it's not always going to be easy. More than likely, it's going to be something you're going to have to, it's going to be out of your power, out of your zone, beyond your strength. But Jesus can do it. He is able. He's the impossible. And there's only one thing Jesus can't do. One thing, he cannot sin. Isn't it awesome to have a God that is alive, that is perfect? So why is it so hard for us to follow Jesus? Why do we allow ourselves to get in the way? Because that's basically what happens in our walk. The path is narrow, and only I look at it like this. There's a beam about 2 inches wide going across a great gulch, a bottomless pit. And you have to walk across it. You can't walk across it alone. Jesus has to keep you balanced. Look at Peter when Peter asked Jesus, "Call me out and I'll come to you." He stepped out and walked on water. But as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, the world took upon him, and he began to fall. And he cried out for God, "Save me, Jesus." Jesus pulled him right up. That's what our lives are like. And Enoch, I, like I said before, I can't fathom the relationship that Enoch had with God. It just blows my mind. And when it says that after Methuselah was born, he walked with God. It never says anything before that. The way it's written, it seems to be that that's when Enoch became to follow God the way God desired him to. And that really blew my mind that after Methuselah was born, he walked with God 300 years. He lived 365 years, did not face death, but was no more. Was just taken. To me, that God has shown me that that's a representation of the rapture of what it's going to be like on earth. Whether we see it or our children see it, I don't know. But how would you like to walk with Jesus? I know mankind don't live that long anymore. It's amazing if somebody makes it 200. It's a big deal. And these people are living 300-400 years. I mean, I couldn't imagine what life was like then. You got to see your great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. But he is a testimony of the love we need to have for Jesus. Is your love completely upon Jesus? Or do you have it scattered? And what I mean by scattered is not fully on Jesus. Your desire is not fully on Jesus. Because you do realize the Bible says that we have to put Jesus above our spouse, above our children, above everything. Jesus is first, and everything else follows. Because for one thing, Jesus created family. He wants family. He wouldn't do anything to destroy a family that's trying to seek him. If anything, he's going to strengthen it because you're seeking him. Try and take your walk further. I challenge you. I'm challenging myself. Let's take our walk further with Christ and see how he can change us and change those around you. You'll be surprised the effect that God will have on those around you. The effect of strangers. Because you'll see something different. And it'll give you the opportunity. Because God opens up opportunities to share the gospel. Okay, I'll go ahead and stop there. I mean, all I'm doing is there's so much to say. I did write this down. Let me just read this to you. And Genesis 5:24 represents walking with God. And Hebrews 11:5 represents pleasing God. And Jude 14 and 15 represents witnessing for God. And that's how I looked at those three passages. Because if you walk with God, you're going to please him. And if you're pleasing him, he's going to open up opportunities. Thank y'all for listening.